worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Then, looking at Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you, Lord, for being our King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for being sovereign. Lord, thank you for just your sovereignty over our individual lives, the lives of our families, the lives of our communities, our states, our nation, our world. Father, we lift up all the presidential candidates to you today. Father, first, we thank you, Father, for how that you preserve the life of former President Trump. And thank you, Lord, for how that you're preserving the lives of President Biden and all other persons running for office. Thank you for how that you're sovereign over every person running for president and all other people that have run for office as of late, Lord. Thank you for how that no life has been lost as of late. Father, we surround all the candidates with faith and love. We surround them with the blood of Jesus. Preserve their lives. And Lord, more and more, place righteous leaders that will honor, please, and glorify you in office. And more, we ask that you would remove unrighteous leaders that do not seek to serve you or honor you in the way they provide leadership. And Lord, place the people that you have called to your service where you would have them to be more and more. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph. Thank you so much for all the people that you've allowed and you've placed in authority. Thank you so much for your protection over them. Thank you so much for your guidance and your love. Father, I ask that you'd call out more workers. Father, I know that you love them all so well. I know that you love all of us the same. I know that you want us all to come into your fold the same. Father, I just want to praise your name because I know that you are the final authority. Father, I just want to praise your name because I know that if anybody survives or if anybody perishes, if any nation survives, if any nation crumbles, it is because of your callings. Father, you raised the mountains up. You carved out the oceans. It's up to you. If America's going to stabilize and be more fair, it's because of you. Father, I know that you're calling all of us back into more holiness. I know that you're calling us all back towards your name even more. So Father, I ask that you'd open our ears from the weakest of us to the most powerful of us, that we'd look into your word and we'd say, praise the Lord, let us be more like Jesus. Father, I ask that you'd strengthen us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Before we go to reading through the word, I want to share an article, as we often do. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, it is an evangelism and discipleship tool. And we invite you to email us to get a copy. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. This article is entitled, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Then Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 28. Then the rich man said, Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. Again, Luke 16, 27 to 28. The following are two letters sent, as if these two young men had the unique opportunity to send a letter back to their living parents after these young men's lives ended on the earth. Dear Dad and Mom, it's me, Jack, and I just wanted to share my experience after life ended on earth for me. After I took my last breath, lying on that hospital bed, I felt myself rise up. I saw you both as you started to cry. I wanted so much to comfort you and tell you that all of a sudden, I didn't hurt anymore. I wanted to let you know that I felt fine, but as I stood up, I noticed that my body was still lying in the bed and not moving. But I felt great. I was completely healed and well. All of a sudden, two very tall, beautiful angels walked into the room. Each one took me by the arm and whisked me away. We went right through the roof of the hospital, flew at an extremely fast speed into the sky and then through space. And very quickly, we passed through the gates of heaven. Dad and Mom, I wish you both could see this place. It's so beautiful. I don't have words to describe how beautiful it is. Everything is so bright and pretty. The streets really are made out of pure gold. The houses and other buildings are stunning to look at. And everyone here is so happy. The whole place is awesome, bright, and glorious. Then very soon, my escorting angel told me, he's coming. As I looked, there walking up to me was Jesus. Oh, he looked so gloriously beautiful and wonderful to see. He came up and gave me a big embrace. It felt like I was covered with love and grace. I am so thankful to the Lord for saving me. I'm thankful that I committed my life to the Lord and served him when I was alive. Praise God. Suddenly, I thought to myself, I wish I had told so many more people about Jesus and how to be saved. I wouldn't want anyone to miss him or miss living in this wonderful place called heaven. Love in Christ, your son, Jack. And then the next letter. Dear Dad and Mom, it's me, Reg. I wanted to let you know about what happened after life came to an end for me on Earth. After I stopped breathing, I apparently left my body. I tried to talk to the two of you, but you couldn't hear anything I was saying to you. I looked at my bed and saw my lifeless body, although I was standing right beside the two of you. Then all of a sudden, two of the most horrible-looking creatures I've ever seen walked through the walls of the room. They were demons. They quickly walked up to me before I could yell and grabbed me. I yelled and asked you both to please help me. Help me get away from these horrible creatures, but you couldn't hear me at all. They dragged me as I was kicking and screaming at them to let me go, but they wouldn't. They said, "Come with us. You belong to us now." A huge hole appeared out of nowhere in the floor, and they dragged me down into it. I cried out, screamed, and yelled as loud as I could, "Let me go!" And they just laughed at me and kept pulling me down the hole. The hole was a dark tunnel, dark, so dark. They kept pulling me down, pulling me down. The deeper we went, the hotter it became. Finally, we reached the bottom. I felt like I was being scalded all over my body. I was burning on every inch of my being. The demons grabbed my wrists and clamped chains on them. Then they threw me into some kind of cell. It was so hot, and the whole place smelled awful, a stench much worse than anything I'd ever smelled. I was in unbearable pain and agony from the extreme heat and pain all over my body. I said, "Please, I don't want to be here. Let me out." The two demons laughed at me and walked away. In the midst of my agony and pain, I looked through the door of my cell and saw many more prison-like cells, almost just like mine, as far as the eye could see down a long corridor. And I could hear what sounded like thousands of moans and groans and cries of other men and women in agony and despair. Their groans and cries poured from all the cells. "Dad and Mom, I'm no longer an atheist. Though I was an atheist most of my adult life on Earth, I now believe in God. I believe in God and heaven and hell and all those things preachers used to talk about in church and on TV. I used to make fun of preachers, laugh at them, and I called them ignorant fools. Now I realize they were right, every one of them, as they preached the Bible. And I wish now that I had just one more day to be alive. One more day to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I had only one more day, I would listen to the gospel and run to give my life to Christ. But for me, it's just too late. Dad and Mom, please tell all my brothers and sisters, cousins and others, tell all my friends, give your lives to Jesus Christ today. Don't wait another day. This place is so terrible, just so awful. Don't come here. Get saved. Don't make the mistake I made. Give your life to Christ today. Don't come down here. Your son, Reg." If you desire to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior and desire to spend eternity in heaven with him and avoid spending an eternity in hell, you can. In order to make that step, you simply would be wise to pray a prayer and invite Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, a prayer like this. And we invite you to pray it with us even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came to the world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. You rose from the dead 3 days later. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. I repent and I turn from all the wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Help me to live for you and follow you all my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell. If you'd like to get a copy, email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. We'll be right back.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountains to forgetting all our sins. You remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing.
The music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. When King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, "This is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian's chief of staff sent by the king to defy the living God and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left." After King Hezekiah's officials delivered the king's message to Isaiah, the prophet replied, "Say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech against me from the Assyrian king's messengers. Listen, I myself will move against him, and the king will receive a message that he is needed at home. So he will return to his land, where I will have him killed with a sword." Meanwhile, the Assyrian chief of staff left Jerusalem and went to consult the king of Assyria, who had left Lachish and was attacking Libnah. Soon afterward, King Sennacherib received word that King Tirhaka of Ethiopia was leading an army to fight against him. Before leaving to meet the attack, he sent messengers back to Hezekiah in Jerusalem with this message. "This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them? Such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar? My predecessors destroyed them all. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad? What happened to the kings of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva?" After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. "O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God." Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer about King Sennacherib of Assyria, and the Lord has spoken this word against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? At whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have defied the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots, I've conquered the highest mountains. Yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I've cut down its tallest cedars and its finest cypress trees. I've reached its farthest corners and explored its deepest forests. I have dug wells in many foreign lands and refreshed myself with their water. With the sole of my foot, I stopped up all the rivers of Egypt. But have you not heard? I decided this long ago. Long ago I planned it, and now I'm making it happen. I planned for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. That is why their people have so little power and are so frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. But I know you well, where you stay and when you come and go. I know the way you have raged against me, and because of your raging against me and your arrogance, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. I will make you return by the same road on which you came. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, here is the proof that what I say is true. This year you will eat only what is grown up by itself. The next year you will eat what springs up from that. But in the third year, you will plant crops and harvest them. You will tend vineyards and eat their fruit. And you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put roots down in your own soil and will grow up and flourish. For a remnant of my people will spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. That night the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with their swords. They then escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Assyria. 2 Kings chapter 20. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I've heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. In 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, make an ointment from figs. So Hezekiah's servants spread the ointment over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. Meanwhile, Hezekiah had said to Isaiah, what sign will the Lord give to prove that he will heal me and that I will go to the temple of the Lord 3 days from now? Isaiah replied, this is the sign from the Lord to prove that he will do as he promised. Would you like the shadow on the sundial to go forward 10 steps or backward 10 steps? The shadow always moves forward, Hezekiah replied. So that would be easy. Make it go 10 steps backward instead. So Isaiah the prophet asked the Lord to do this, and he caused the shadow to move 10 steps backward on the sundial of Ahaz. Soon after this, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah his best wishes and a gift, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been very sick. Hezekiah received the Babylonian envoys and showed them everything in his treasure houses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the aromatic oils. He also took them to see his armory and showed them everything in his royal treasuries. There was nothing in his palace or kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked him, what did those men want? Where were they from? Hezekiah replied, they came from the distant land of Babylon. What did they see in your palace? Isaiah asked. They saw everything, Hezekiah replied. I showed them everything I own, all my royal treasuries. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, listen to this message from the Lord. The time is coming when everything in your palace, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your very own sons will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, this message you have given me from the Lord is good. For the king was thinking, at least there will be peace and security during my lifetime. The rest of the events in Hezekiah's reign, including the extent of his power and how he built a pool and dug a tunnel to bring water into the city, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Hezekiah died, and his son Manasseh became the next king. End of 2 Kings chapter 20. Thank you, Lord, for all those that make up our listening family. And thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Thank you for the ministries you've called each and every one of us to. Thank you for our incomes. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Bless each and every one of us this day. Indeed, expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the outreach ministries you've called every listener, every one of us to, and your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Bless each and every one of our outreaches. Indeed, expand each of their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each of us. each of us, keep us from evil, though we may not cause pain. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to recognize, Lord, that every day is an important day to be about the work of sharing the gospel. Every day is an important day to be about the work of making disciples. Every day is an important day for us to be disciples and to make disciples. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Set us on fire afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. And help us to always live in a listening mode, knowing, Lord, that there's always tasks that you want us to be about listening to you for and discerning your will and walking your will out. Thank you for the chance to be vessels through which your work and your will can be done today and every day. And Lord, more and more, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to a heart of wisdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
That you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Called me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me.
Music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God, and as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Now a true widow, a woman who is truly alone in this world, has placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, asking God for his help. But if the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead, give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticism. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and was faithful to her husband. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served others and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do good? The younger widows should not be on the list because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ, and they will want to remarry. Then they would be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. And if they are on the list, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business, and talking about things they shouldn't. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. For I'm afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. If a woman who is a believer has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church can care for the widows who are truly alone. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain." And in another place, "Those who work deserve their pay." Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, because you are sick so often. Remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment. But there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. In the same way, the good deeds of some people are obvious, and the good deeds done in secret will someday come to light. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All slaves should show full respect to their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and His teaching. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always be ready to share with others. Always be ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up for their treasure. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. End of the book of 1 Timothy. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Today, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today, we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us on our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'd like to remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the prayer tool that we call Kingdom Prayers, which has about 13 or so Bible-based prayers that are very fruitful and wise prayers for us to pray on a daily basis. And it does include prayers such as the Lord's Prayer, and the Prayer of Jabez, the Prayer of Isaiah, Psalm 91, the Prayer of Psalm 91, and a number of other prayers. We invite you to email us to get a copy of that prayer tool to strengthen and help set your prayer life on fire. Again, the email, joseph@afr.net. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a wonderful day to make that step. Would you from your heart pray this prayer with me now to make that important step in your life? Simply pray this prayer with me if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you every day. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we very much want to be in touch with you. We would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down roots deep in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to get that information, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to share it with you. We want to share it with you. Please email us again, the email, joseph@afr.net. Or if you're wanting to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, A Letter from Heaven, A Letter from Hell, same email. Or if you'd like to get a copy of the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get both of those and other discipleship items that you may wish as well. Simply ask for those as well. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.